So now that we have the handcuffs off, perhaps we can dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that we've been talking about. Trinace and Hamptonio, you brought up this idea of frequency. And Hamptonio, I think you mentioned how 440 hertz is being used to our detriment. Dr. Trinace, you talked to us about how sound frequencies can play a part in healing. I know that there are tuning forks, there are sound bowls. Talk to us about how you effectively use sound in your healing practice.
I use the many different forms of sound, but I have to say the tuning forks in particular are a way that anybody can start using sound healing because they're very inexpensive. And I would encourage people to get an ohm tuning fork. And usually those are about 136.1 hertz. And when you purchase an ohm tuning fork, there's different octaves of ohm, but when you strike those tuning forks, you want to actually touch the bony parts of your body, you know, find the bony parts of your body and then just hold that, the end of that tuning fork to the bone structure of the body. And what happens is that resonates through the bone because the bone is primarily made up of collagen and a crystal called apatite. There's literally little crystals in your bones, and they're called apatite. So if you look that stone up, apatite is a phenomenal stone. It does amazing things, and we're made up of it. Our bone structure is made up of it. So literally with electron microscope, they were able to see it looked like vines. The collagen looks like vines, and within the vines, you see the crystals. So we've seen it with our own eyes now that we're made up of crystals. So what we've been taught by the ancients and through ancient scriptures and the mystery schools is really true. We are phenomenal magical beings, and our bone structure is literally crystal. So when you use the tuning forks, which anybody can buy one tuning fork, you can go on to, you know, eBay and get a tuning fork for $10 and then start using it. And you will see the difference in the body because it starts to bring back a harmony. It starts to bring back healing. And the first thing people start to notice when I do sessions with them, after the very first session, they feel more peaceful. See, because the sound, we have all this sound, chaotic sound going on in our body. And we have to harmonize our sound. So it's like having a horrific going to see a philharmonic performance and everybody's out of tune. It would be horrible to sit there and listen to that. So that's what's going on inside of the body when you have all this free radicals, the cells are dying off. When they're dying off, they make white noise sound. Everything makes a different sound. Just like Hamptonio said, when it's healthy, it makes a certain frequency. When it's sick, it has a certain frequency. And depending on the level of dis-ease in the body, it really can get out of sorts. So just a tuning fork begins to bring harmony back to the body, and you would be amazed at, first of all, the way you feel afterward, the more energy that you have, the way you start feeling more optimistic. Has a lot to do with the parasites in the body. We have to get rid of these parasites. Our bodies are absolutely filled with parasites. And each and every parasite makes a frequency sound. So we have to get rid of all this extra noise. I call it static. We have to remove the static that's in the body and start bringing back our resonant sound so that we resonate more with the universe, with the energy around us. So that's how our health comes back, is through our sound. We have to sound good on the inside. And there's a lot of things in there that are blocking our sound.
That's interesting when you talk about sound, and I'm reminded of a short video clip that I saw the other day where a young man was talking about the fact that we listen to murder music. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about how, you know, sometimes you can be in the street driving your vehicle and somebody will drive by and the bass is just so deep that it's rattling the speakers, or it's rattling the metal in their car, and it's also causing you a certain level of discomfort. And I'm often puzzled by why someone would intentionally subject themselves to that level of noise. Just thinking about that Philharmonic Orchestra that you mentioned and them playing discordant music, mm-hmm. you know, and then to think that we would actually want to listen to that music. And we all know why that music is so prevalent. It's because they want to keep us in a lower vibrational state. And the young man even said that even though he's aware of the fact that it's not something that we should listen to, after a period of time, when you listen to it so much, you know the lyrics, you're singing the lyrics, it puts you in a certain mind state. And then the next thing you know, you might be a victim or you might witness someone who has been victimized by the very thing that folks are singing about. They give us this music because they want us to stay stuck in that paradigm, and they don't give us intelligent, conscious music. And there's deliberate, you know, there's a certain amount of deliberation that happens that results in us being exposed to that. So to think that we could use a tuning fork, something as simple as a $10 piece of metal, to resonate in our bodies and create some positive momentum is an astounding fact. So tuning fork is definitely on my list. You also mentioned parasites, and I know that there are probably a lot of parasites in people's bodies that they're not even aware of. I know some people, because of the ingestion of a lot of meat over a period of time, particularly pork, they might have things like tapeworms and other things that are alive in their digestive systems. But then there's also a lot of bad bacteria. And I know that there's some bad bacteria that's necessary in your body. You have to have a balance. I think it's something like 80-20, 80 good, 20 bad. But with that said, what kinds of things that can we do to affect parasites in our bodies in a way that allows us to remove them?
Well, if you're not going to practice frequency medicine, because frequency is the most profound way to get rid of the parasites, it's one of the best ways to get rid of the parasites, because parasites are very difficult to get rid of. And that's why you can almost kill the person before you kill the parasites, because they are entrenched in your body. So through frequency, just like Hamtoni was talking about with the cancer cells, through frequency, the parasites can be targeted and removed, and you're not harmed in that process. But outside of frequency medicine, once again, I would have to say the bentonite. You can take some herbs, but I'm going to tell you, you can't take enough herbs to get rid of the ones that are in your body, because there are many different forms of parasites in the body. So the only thing I know of effectively is the frequencies.
Okay.
One thing I want to add to, and one thing before we go too far off from that particular subject matter, when we were talking about the tuning folks, forks, I think it would be a good piece to add in for us to look up. It's Dr. Tass. I don't know if you heard him before. I think his name is spelled T-A-S-S. You know, he's from Stanford, and he come up with a breakthrough in dealing with Parkinson's. And he developed this particular glove, this frequency glove that he tweaked and tweaked. You know, they have some other gloves that I seen that's on the internet, though, but I guess I refer back everyone to his particular glove. But he's from Stanford, and I don't know if the glove is hit the market, but he's done some astounding things with Parkinson's using this glove from the fingertips, and it emits a certain frequency. And one other guy, one of our good brothers, Dr. Craig Woodson, would say it tells the brain to stop firing all at once, telling the body to do something. That's some of the that's a little bit of what's happening when you're dealing with Parkinson's. So in his documentary that you can see on YouTube, where a guy comes in, can barely walk and move, things like that, and he puts the glove on for about a couple hours, and then he gets up and walk in and is not shaking and things like that. So that's it tells us how frequency works in the body. And by using frequency, and what our ancestors seems like they had a full understanding and knowledge of on how frequency and everything can heal the body.
Okay. Anything you want to add to that, Dr. T?
No, he's absolutely right. What I do want to add to that is the heavy metals that's trapped in the brain. That's why you have a lot of neurological issues, especially with people now after the jab. You see that lots of neurological issues because there were lots of heavy metals and parasites in those shots. So we got to clean it out. We got to get our bodies cleaned up. And then those frequencies can flow. The information can flow. It has to be able to communicate. But those things are there to block the communication so that the body cannot communicate with itself. This is why you have lots of issues like that.
Yes. So the other day, it was on TikTok, actually, and I really hate that I didn't save that particular video, but there was a woman on who had a device that was about this big, was about this big around, and she called it a frequency machine. And she said that you just put it on different places in your body and somehow it uses the frequencies to create healing. Do you know anything about those devices?
Yes. There's lots of different devices out there. They're all using frequency. They, you know, depending on who's making it, how they design it. The one that you have is one style. There's many different styles. I have many different ones. They're all different. But again, it's the quality of the product. You need to do research on products because everybody's in for the money now. So there's a lot of different frequency machines on the market, and not all of them are equal. Just because they're using right frequencies and that's how they'll promote them, it doesn't mean they're the same. So you do need to use, you know, some due diligence and study and find out what are they using, what frequencies, how much, you know, science is behind what they've created. Because again, you can use a tuning fork and it's $10, or you can buy something that's $7,000 and it doesn't do more than the tuning fork. I've seen a lot of stuff out there and they're trying to get rich off of it. It's kind of ridiculous. So you don't have to spend all that kind of money in order to get good frequency machines.
Okay. Since you mentioned the jab, can you share with the audience, perhaps deliberately and with great discretion, since we're on YouTube,
right?
Can you suggest some things that they can do to counteract the effect of getting jabbed?
Bentonite.
Okay.
Bentonite.
Okay.
Literally.
Yes.
It's one of the most.
Is there any great places?
Pardon me?
Is there any good places to get that?
Wow. There's a lot of places, but the brand that I use is Great Plains. That's the liquid. It comes from a company called Great Plains, and they've been around since the 40s. And then if you're going to use the powder, I would do some research because there's many different companies out there selling the powder. So you just need to know your sources. But Aztec Indian, that's one of the brands that are out there that seems to be pretty good quality for the powder, the clay. But I've been buying it actually in bulk from a few different manufacturers. So because I get it by 50-pound bags. I make a lot of different stuff with it. So, yeah, you just got to be real clear about what you're putting in your body and on your body. But I do trust the Great Plains liquid bentonite and iHerb.com. I don't mean to promote anybody, but I use them a lot. And you can find a lot of different stuff there. And that's where I get that from.
Okay. We were going to talk about shadow work and we kind of went off into some other directions, but I definitely want to give folks an understanding of what shadow work is and how it's beneficial. So can you talk about what it is and how people can employ it within their own lives?
Well, shadow work is another one of those ancient techniques. So depending on where you are in the world or where your culture comes from, it would be done differently. But there is very good information coming out of the ancient Toltecs. So they have left us some very good information on how to perform shadow work. The ancient Toltecs were masters of the dream state. They mastered the dream state, which means that when you fall asleep, you go into different realms. It's not just a dream that you're having. You're literally in another dimension. And we haven't been taught about dimensional states of consciousness. That's why they're called different levels of consciousness, just like hypnosis puts you in an altered state of consciousness. You may be walking around and seem like you're totally awake, but you're under a hypnotic spell. And this is what we've seen in the world. And they clone Tyrone talks about this very clearly, how people have been hypnotized. So when you sleep, you're in a state of hypnosis. It's another altered state of consciousness, but there's different levels. So you have the theta state of consciousness, the delta state, the beta, the alpha. And when you are awake every day and running around, you're in the beta state. And when you measure that through physics, your spin is going to be to the level, to the left. So physics measures everything as a positive spin or negative spin. Something is either decomposing when it's spinning to the left, or is growing and expanding when it's spinning to the right. So everything is spinning in one of those directions. So you're either decomposing or you're growing. It's one or the other. Your thoughts are either decomposing thoughts or they're growth thoughts. Okay. So when you start doing your shadow work, what happens is, with according to the ancient Toltecs, you begin to master that part of yourself. It helps you to learn how to master different states of consciousness. So most people, they'll start to fall asleep immediately when they start to do this breathing. It's a breathing technique. It teaches you how to breathe. Because our breath, as Antonio said about the oxygen and the life force that's in the air, our breath is what keeps us in a certain state of consciousness. So that's why you can use different types of breathing exercises to enter into different states of consciousness. So most people don't breathe deep enough, so they stay in a very light state, in which it makes them have very light, shallow breaths, which also induce a beta state of consciousness. And so when we go to sleep, or when we, let's not even talk about sleep, just sitting down watching TV. I think we talked about this before. I'm not sure if I did talk about this with you, Vince. But when you just sit down and go to watch TV, there were scientific studies done, because they created these machines to see what state of consciousness you were in, and to see how long it took for people to go into an alpha state of consciousness when they sit down and watch TV. So alpha state is where you're in the first level of a hypnotic state. That's where we go when we do meditation, when we go for walks in nature. Whenever you focus on anything, you go into an alpha state of consciousness, which immediately brings you out of that beta crazy state. But you can be focusing on the wrong thing. So this is a very suggestible level of consciousness when you move into the alpha state. That's why when you're making your prayers, you should be saying positive prayers, because you're influencing a hypnotic state in the body, in the mind. When you're doing your meditation, it's supposed to be positive meditations. You're visualizing things that are very positive and healing, because you're working again with that level of consciousness. So when you start doing your shadow work, you go through breathing techniques where you breathe in so many times and then you breathe out so many times. And it's with an intention. We set an intention with our breaths. So you will start to kind of fall asleep. Some people just lose consciousness immediately as soon as they start doing the breathing technique, because they have no power over their mind. And you start to see how strong you are, how suggestible you are. But it's to teach you and to train you how to be more conscious and awake in life, instead of in our waking state. Instead of all these things go by you and you never notice it. You never notice it because you weren't paying attention. We're not conscious. We're walking around unconsciously. So the shadow work helps you to release traumas that are in the body, in the spirit realm of you, in the energetic part of you. Because when you think about it, whenever a trauma happens, immediately your heart starts to pound faster and you start to breathe faster and you're breathing those shallow breaths. So you breathe in the trauma. You literally breathe in it in and it gets trapped inside of your body because it's real. Thoughts are real. Energy is real and it goes somewhere. So when you breathe it in, it goes to different parts of the body and it gets trapped there. So you have to consciously breathe it out. The same way you breathe in a trauma, you have to breathe it out. And that's what the shadow work starts to help you do, is to release energies that you are not even conscious of that are in your body that are creating problems for you in your life.
So could you describe the process? Is it one where you sit with someone and then they take you through this process, or is it something that you just do on your own? It seems to be not necessarily a simple thing to do.
Well, I have made it simple for everybody to start doing shadow work because it's profound. You do it by yourself, but you can do it in groups. But I have on my website on awakenthehealing.com, at the top of that website at the homepage, there's a podcast player. And if you can scroll back right through that podcast player and you can go back to episode number 225 to 26, that is the shadow work episodes. So I suggest people listen to part one because you need to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. You need to know what you're doing. And then 226 is where you run through it. So it's profound. It's a long process. One round of shadow takes almost 6 months to complete. So it's a 21-day cycle. There's 13 days on. 13 days you wake up and you do these breaths with these intentions. And it's eight different intentions you set. But you go through this breathing process. It takes about 30 minutes to do. And I mean, 30 minutes is going to change your life. But, you know, I'm doing it with you, so you don't have to figure it out. It's all there. But I suggest people listen to episode 225. And so you know what you're doing. You know the book. You can get Doris. The book is... The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. Yes, that's the book that is in, because Sergio Magaña is the author of that. And he has brought that information back to us from the ancient Toltecs. It's very profound. Doing these cycles, each time you complete a cycle or a round, you have eight cycles in a round. Once you complete that, then you actually feel it in your body. You feel it. You feel lighter. You feel more powerful. Because when you start doing your shadow work, things that you have forgotten about, things that you didn't even realize you remembered, start coming up to your conscious mind. It's because you're bringing them back out of you, because they've been buried somewhere in your body, somewhere in your energy field. And it gives you an opportunity to heal it. So we must start to heal ourselves. We must start to heal our shadow, because what's happening is everything outside of us is a mirror. We all live in our own universes, which can sound very metaphysical, but it's very true. We all live in our own universes. So nobody is experiencing the same reality, even though we all exist here on this planet together. We're not because our perception of reality is totally different. So when I begin to do my shadow work, I'm going to have a different experience than anyone else, because we're all healing from something that we have taken in and are unconscious of. But everybody has the same results, that they start feeling more powerful. Family traumas start to heal. People are having lots of issues in the families with their children, with their spouses, things of this nature. Everything is a mirror of you. So when you start to heal your inner shadow, your inner self, then everything outside of you begins to go through that healing process as well. And you start to see relationships change. People that you may be having issues with today, those relationships will change. Either they're going to get better, or the person is going to leave your life because they're not ready to do the work themselves. So everything has to mirror you. So if there's anything going on in your reality that you're not happy with, you need to really pay attention to it, because you're exuding that. It's a mirror, it's a reflection, and it's happening so you can become conscious of it and you can start working within yourself. So that's the most difficult part for people to believe and to understand, that what's going on around me has something to do with me, but it does. It absolutely does.
Let me ask a question. I know we talked about it earlier about food and things like that. And before, I guess, someone to get into or maybe get the full effects of shadowing and other things like that. Let's go. Could you touch a little bit about the toxic environment or the toxic intake of food? How would that interfere them raising up to the level? Because bringing it in a biblical point of view where most of us can understand about fasting and prayer, and most of the prophets use fasting as a method to detox the body, to raise their level of consciousness so they can make those particular connections. So I'm saying that to say how important in doing some of this work that diet can play into you getting the benefits that you're seeking.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's what I was saying earlier about what you eat. Your diet determines your level of consciousness. So if you're intaking toxins into the body, it's going to stop you from hitting certain levels of awareness, of awakening. So, but it really works together. If a person has a strong desire, they can be in the worst condition right now, but they have a desire to be free of all of that, and they truly want it. The desire feeds the wheel. So you have to have a strong wheel, because that's one of the things the ancients across the board, wherever we look on the planet, when we look at ancient traditions, it is long term. We didn't do it for a day or an hour and we were done. This is our microwave society today. Nobody wants to be committed to anything. They want everything to be quick and fast, so it's easy to get over. But when you really commit to doing something in your life, then you're ready to do it for the rest of your life, if that's what it means, in order to get the result that you want. So we've lost that. Humanity has lost that somewhere on a large level. When we deal with the majority of people, they're very impatient. They can't commit to things. And you see that across the board, even, in school. People sign up for college. They want to go to college. They go to their first class, and tomorrow they don't go back. We're just not committed. We got to have a desire to change our lives. And the same thing happens when we're working on our spiritual development. And when I say spiritual development, a lot of people, they can say, oh, that's woo-woo and so on and so forth. But spirit is just another name for energy. We are energetic beings, and we are incarnated in these physical forms, but we are still part energy. This is what makes up this so-called physical form. Nothing is truly physical. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. So if we're eating dense foods, the density of the food will keep you at a certain state of consciousness. And that's why they want you to keep eating the heavy foods, because they don't want you to raise your consciousness. So the people have to have a desire and a will for better, for more, for higher. Because whatever you want, the universe will give you. The universe doesn't judge. There's no judging. That's why you can create whatever life you want. If you want to be a drug dealer, if you want to do this, go right ahead on, do it. The universe is not going to stop you, but you're going to get the results of your actions. If you want to do good things in life, the universe is not going to stop you. It's going to help you. You know, there's a quote from the Holy Quran that says that if you desire evil, Allah will give you a devil as your companion. So it's across the board. It doesn't matter what scripture you come out of. This is what the universe is. It's here to support you. But we have to awaken and become more mature beings. This is the problem. We're like children. We're very destructive, very self-destructive. And we want to blame everybody else for our problems. And that can be true. We are being influenced by others on, these things that are happening in our world today. Absolutely, there are other people influencing this stuff. But we have to take self-responsibility. So it's going to take time, effort, energy, commitment, persistence, everything we have to get ourselves out of this mess, because it's a mess on this planet. And, you know, as far as you were talking about, Vince, with the music, it's a smorgasbord out here. You know, you can listen to it and you don't have to. Just because they put it out here doesn't mean we have to consume it. So it's our desire. What do we want? We're listening to it because we want to listen to it. We're eating it because we want to eat it. But until we stop wanting it, then it won't be there for us anymore. We're creating our own reality. So we don't have to experience the things we're experiencing. All we got to do is change our desire for what we experience, and our experience will change. We have to do the work to shift that consciousness level, to shift our diet, you know, the way we think. People are so negative. They're always expecting bad things to happen, and so bad things happen. What do you expect? Start expecting good and say positive things to each other. Speak words of healing, because your words, again, we're talking about sound. Your voice is powerful. And so speak words of healing to each other. Speak words of love and appreciation. Speak words that free your heart, because when you speak, your heart and your voice are connected. So when you have a stuttering issue, when you stutter, there's stuff in the heart that needs to heal. People who stutter have to heal their heart. This goes into Chinese medicine. I mean, there's science behind this. So when you speak, you should be speaking from your heart. You should always speak your heart. And it should be spoken with love and wisdom. So wisdom is the fifth dimension. It's your throat chakra. Your heart is the fourth dimension. This is where we awaken and we become connected to one another. And that's where we're moving into the fourth dimension. We've been in the third dimension in our solar plexus. And that's where it's all about power. But it should be about self-empowerment, not dominating each other. And that's what this dimension has taught us. The third dimension has taught us to remove ourselves from that self, allowing other people to dominate us, and move into our self-empowerment. And this is what we have to grow into. This is where humanity is growing from, the children that we've been, where everybody's been controlling you and telling you what to do. Now it's time for you to be mature and grow into wisdom, where you can speak it and create it. This is the process of growth, of spiritual growth, and activating the physical. It's the alchemy of the spirit.
Yes. You know, I listen to Dr. Brown as often as I can, and I think it was him who shared the idea that children under the age of 7 exist in a theta state, which is one of the reasons that they're so creative at that age, and they haven't been corrupted by a lot of the things that take us into that lower vibrational existence. Just a few things running through my mind at the moment. And one of them just has to deal with what you've said about how these things in our environment affect us on such a great level. And then I think about the fact that there are people like you and others who are doing what we call light work. And then when we think of it in biblical terms, you know, there's this idea of the chosen few, and, you know, the fact that so many people are not conscious, and now we're living in this place of awakening. We have these conversations about astrology, and we look at the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that occurred about 3 years ago. Some say we're living in the age of Aquarius. Some say that, you know, that's maybe 50, 100, 150 years off. What are your thoughts about where we are right now cosmologically?
I don't know if you all are ready for me on this one. I'm going to challenge you on this one, because there's no such thing as time. So if we really look at it that way, that there's no such thing as time, what we call time or dimensional states, planes of existence, is frequency. So we can be in the age of Aquarius today because we are vibrating at that frequency. Or we can be in the Bronze Age or the Iron Age because of our frequency. So it doesn't matter really what we call time, because, when, again, it's perspective. We can look, there's several calendars being used on the planet today. So which calendar are you looking at? The Gregorian calendar? We go back to Caesar, he made his own calendar. We go back to the ancient, the Ethiopian calendar. And 2021, that was 2012 on the Ethiopian calendar. So it depends on what calendar are we using. It's an agreement. Time is agreement because it's an illusion. We're agreeing. So we say, let's meet at 11 o'clock to start the show. Which time are you on? Eastern Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time, which time? So we're in agreement with time because it doesn't exist. So if that to me doesn't matter. What matters is that people are trying to evolve because we are the body universe. The universe exists within us. And if we are not in tune with our Aquarian energy, the consciousness of the Aquarian time is people coming together, is oneness. That's moving into the heart. It's moving into that fourth chakra. So we begin to awaken and see that we are all connected. How are we connected? We're connected through our light, through our consciousness. And so there's the separation. The separation is going to be through consciousness. Those who are awakening are going to be in one world, and those who aren't awakening are going to be in another world. There it is.
Let me add something to that then, and give us something to think about then. When everything is about energy, and I go back into, I guess the word they use, entanglement, you know, when you're dealing with frequency, energy, cells, and things like that, and saying that everything is connected. And based on the last statement that you said, it depends on where you at. You know, you can bring that Aquarian frequency into you, depends on how you resonate. Now, going back to astrology and astronomy, when they talked about those particular areas that the planet may be at a particular time, would it be safe to say then the planet kind of, or the universe kind of makes it easier for some folks because we're moving in this particular universe? And would you say at certain times of the time frames that the Earth moves into a certain space to where more of a certain type of energy or frequency is more acceptable or receptive to people on the planet, therefore bringing you, when you say you was born at a certain time, that brings in certain type of attributes and certain type of emotions or characteristics of a people because of the certain alignment and time and energy and where we were placed at a certain point in time. How much of an effect, or is that a real thing?
It definitely is a real thing, but it is going to shift because, again, the dimensions are based on frequency. Mm-hmm. So we can say we're on the same planet that we were born on, but we're not. When you look at what has happened on our planet, if you go back to the 1970s and then we come to now, we can say this is the same planet, but it doesn't look like the same planet. So what has changed? The consciousness levels have changed. And some are calling this the Mandela effect. So we can look at the Mandela effect. If you don't know anything about the Mandela effect, that's very interesting. I would suggest looking into the Mandela effect because people have different memories of history. And something as simple as everybody should be able to resonate with this, with the game Monopoly. And the little guy on there that had a monocle that he held up to his eye for Monopoly. He was a little rich dude, right? He was a banker or whatever. There's no monocle anymore. And they're saying there never was. But many of us remember the guy with the monocle. So why are we having these alternate memories of history? And that is just something very simple, but we can go into many different examples. If you go onto YouTube and look up Mandela effect, it will blow your mind what people experience. And I personally have experienced many, many, many things that all I can say is we're jumping dimensions. So the ancients told us that the time we're living in now, and many, depending on where you come from in the world, what culture you're coming from, but they all come to this point, the Mayan calendar, the ancient Toltecs, the Native Americans. Native Americans say we're moving into the fifth world. The ancient Toltecs say it's the sixth sun. It's many different interpretations for the time we're living in that we've just entered, the age of Aquarius, whatever you want to call it. But there's a shift of energy that's happening. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that we're shifting to move back into the self. We're becoming more self-aware. And we're beginning to realize that everything that is going on outside of us has something to do with us. And this is where we begin to take responsibility for the world and the earth and how we're connected. And it has a lot to do with just a shift in consciousness. And if you want to relay that to the planets and astrology, yes, as above, so below, it's all just a mirror, a reflection. But what will really blow your mind is that things shift. So depending on which reality you're in, it's a different world. It's the Jupiter's in a different sign, and Aquarius is in a different place in the sky. And depending on which, you know, idea or thought that you come from, they are different. So if you look at Vedic astrology, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And we're all supposed to be on the same planet, looking at the same stars in the sky, but why are they in different places? So it's interpretation. It's interpretation. So it can get very confusing. That's why you have to know what school of thought you're learning from, because they all have a different interpretation of where does Taurus start? Where is Taurus? You know, where is in different, like Vedic astrology, they acknowledge many different planets and the moon. And we don't acknowledge that in Western astrology. So Western astrology is the youngest form of astrology. You have Babylonian, ancient Egyptian astrology, you have Native American astrology. So which one are you coming from? They all are different.
Definitely not Western.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And I'm so glad that you took it there, because we have such a distorted idea of what time is. I'm mindful of something that I saw within the past couple of weeks that talked about how we celebrate birthdays, you know, and the significance of blowing out candles on a cake and the ritual that's involved in it. And then the way that we program ourselves to accept what we describe as the aging process, you know. But when you look at people individually, there could be a person that's 85 years old and is just as spry and limber and so forth and so on. And then you look at another person that's 85 and they're hunched over, you know. But I would have to imagine that one of the reasons for that is the differences in their states of consciousness and awareness. So that person that's 85 years old, that is practicing Qigong, that gets the benefit of the healing properties of sound and movement and self-awareness and self-knowledge, they can exist without this thought that, hey, I'm 85, I'm supposed to be broke down. Right. You know, these are realities that we accept and we program ourselves with. So it's like, I thought about this because I just turned 66, right? So when I was 364 days of 65, and then that chapter turned, then I'm supposed to be a certain way because I'm 66. But reality is I'm in the same body. I have the same mind. I have the same spirit. So what has changed? The only thing that has changed is my perception of who I am because of the numbers of days that are in my life. But then when I take a step back, and I understand that I'm an eternal being and that I have been through all of these cycles and different phases in a life, then why am I measuring my life in relationship to, you know, 65 years and 364 days? It's kind of a trap that we encase ourselves in. And then to perpetuate it, we have social media. So everybody is saying, hey, happy birthday. And, you know, sending you cake and then and putting in you into that mindset, when in actuality, it can work against you because you have a false perception of yourself in relation to the eternal aspect of your being.
Let me add something right there real quick. Yeah, and that's, you know, stay on the three screen too. You could put me back there. Yeah, thank you. It's really a trip like that, because I'm going back and reflecting back to myself. And I started thinking about myself being older. But prior to that, I just still felt like the same silly guy that I was in the 20s and 30s, you know what I mean? But then other people say, oh, you're getting old. And I'm like, am I? You know, and so I started thinking about my age, and then seemed like things start changing in my body because I started putting myself into, you know, mentally and consciously, what do you reflect yourself as seeing? Like when Vince said, the 80-year-old bent, oh man, I'm 80 now. I have to be start breaking down now. I can't do this and I shouldn't be able to do this. And I think you start putting psychologically and consciously and subconsciously, you start equating yourself with being old. And then therefore now your consciousness and your body is saying, hey, well, okay, let's act old. Let's be old now. And I catch myself experiencing those particular things like that. And I say, wait a minute, I'm not old. 80 is not old. You go back to the wrestling Georgia, and they're 100 years old, running 100-yard dash and people doing a whole lot of things at 100. So we got to get out of that mindset of 60 and 70 and 80 is being old. It's just a testament to what Vince was just saying, is that, you know, it's all about and something that, your reality. There's something that Dr. Amos Wilson said, change your consciousness, it changes your reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a really good book by Deepak Chopra, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. And that I suggest everybody read that, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, because I love Deepak because he brings in the science and the spiritual and he brings it together to show you there is no reason why people are aging. The only reason we believe it and then we're toxic. It is simply that. Real biologically, we are renewing ourselves. And Vince, you said you're in the same body. You're not in the same body. All your cells are renewing themselves constantly. So you're not the same person. That's why we can heal. That's why we can heal. So when we think that our bodies are stagnant and that it's the same exact thing, it's not. We're breathing in, constantly breathing in new energy and breathing out the old energy. And when you just see yourself constantly being renewed, then you are being renewed again because we live our beliefs. We create our reality. And that's the way it would be. So, of course, people try to condition you because they make a lot of money off of so-called aging. So there's no such thing as aging. Humans are not supposed to be aging. This is why you have ancient scriptures that people were living to 1,000 years old. Live as long as you want to. But when we believe that we're supposed to, get a certain age and look a certain way, then we start to look that way. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be the sexiest 85-year-old woman on the planet.
I believe that.
It's all about belief because truly we are renewing ourselves. We're energetic beings. We're not physical beings. We're energy that manifests as a physical form. So there's no reason why we're looking like that. The only thing is we've believed it. It was a conditioning and we've been poisoned, you know?
Well, when you look at people like Ernestine, I think her last name is Shepherd. There's Chef Babette. There are others. And one of the common denominators amongst all of them is that they implement resistance training in their lifestyle. So they're very active. With Chef Babette, she just happens to be living on a plant-based diet. And you look at her and her age and where she is, and it's like she's defying age. But it's not necessarily defying age. It's just living properly.
Absolutely.
And having the right attitude. You know, the correct attitude, what I'm learning, is gratitude.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When you exist in a state of gratitude, then your body is programmed to be in that peaceful, joyful state,
yeah.
You know? So you look at you look for the silver lining in the cloud, you know, you don't keep yourself immersed in negative thoughts. And
absolutely.
And it's so important right now because we're surrounded by so much negativity. I mean, you turn on the news and all they're giving you is bad news.
Turn it off.
Turn it off. You know,
yeah.
We had a tornado in Cleveland the other day, right? I turned off Amber Alerts on my phone. So I didn't get the warning. So I wasn't anxious about it, you know, and when it happened, because I remember specifically when it happened, the wind kicked up and it blew hard for a minute or so. And then it kind of subsided. Now, yeah, had I gotten the warning, I could have taken shelter in my basement or whatever that they tell you to do. But when I look at that whole Amber Alert situation, I see it as one of those mind control techniques.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving down the freeway and there's this great big sign and it's got some information about somebody who's kidnapped some children or whatever, you know. That's their situation.
Yeah.
That's not my situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not driving on the freeway looking for this car that I'm supposed to be looking at so I can call somebody to come to the rescue.
Right.
You know, but again, we're surrounded by so much negativity and it's not existing in a state of ignorant bliss. For me, it's just about not taking myself to places that I don't need to be. I don't need to process that information because as you were talking about creating your own universe, creating your own reality, that puts you in control. You know, when the power went out the other night, hey, I don't have power. What am I going to do? Am I going to be upset about something that I can't control? I've been in the dark before. I can go to sleep and wake up the next morning. And guess what? Let there be light.
Yeah.
There's light.
Exactly.
The stuff in my refrigerator, maybe it's spoiled, maybe it didn't. But life goes on, you know, but those things happen and then we're traumatized. It's like, oh, I can't log on to the internet. Oh, I can't watch TV. Oh, I can't do all these things that they give us as medication for our existence. Because that's kind of what it is.
It's distractions.
It's a medication. It's a distraction. And it keeps us in that mind state that doesn't permit us to ascend to higher levels of consciousness. There's so much deliberateness in keeping us in that mind state. But
of fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to you and the great things that you've shared with us today, we've got some tools. So I just kind of want to come back to a few things that really stuck with me. Bentonite, and we'll review and we'll suggest some of the sources that you mentioned so that folks can get the bentonite as well as the shungite. Those are some other things. Then we have the resources of your classes. So as we wind down, do you want to remind the listeners of how they can get to your coursework and what it is and what they can expect to get from it?
The course is Natural Healing Holistic Living Classes. You can go to my website at awakenthehealing.com. When you get there, you'll see classes at the top, one of the links. We're going to be moving the site around a little bit. So we're going to be renewing it, refreshing it. But just take a look around. It will be right there. You can click on that link and take you to the classes, which are on Vimeo. You can also find us on Vimeo at Awaken the Healing. And so anything that you're interested in, I would suggest just take a class and see if you like it or not. They're very inexpensive classes. You also get a free ebook with the class. The ebook is very detailed, lots of information. The classes are phenomenal. Everyone who has taken the classes, continue to take the classes, and those that have graduated can't speak enough about how much they changed their life and how empowered they feel and how they've been able to help friends and family and themselves. That's what it's about. It's about self-empowerment, giving you knowledge, giving you tools, and not just giving you a little bit of information that you don't know what to do with. We teach you how to put it all together so that you can start being more empowered and help your loved ones and help yourself.
Okay. And you also have a podcast. Is that something that folks can tune into?
Yes. It's Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life. You can find it anywhere out there. It's on every platform, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life. It's all about self-empowerment. We do go deep on there. I'll be starting a new show on OM Radio Network starting in September. That's going to be Navigating the Awakening. And that's going to be all about ancient knowledge. I'll be sharing a lot of mystery school teachings on that show. I really want to give people some tools from the ancients on how to navigate this entire planet and how we've been tricked to use words to enslave ourselves. So we know the power of words. We know where our language came from. We know what the letters stand for. We know how to use numerology to free ourselves, because everything comes from numbers, because everything is a frequency. So you got to know this stuff in order to wake up, because the people that have been running the show for a long time, they all know this stuff and they've been using it as a tool against us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you are also in a community of folks who are engaged in belly dancing. And I would have to say, you know, if you do that, in 85, you'll still be sexy.
Right.
You'll be in good shape. You won't have a whole lot of toxins. So if you want to promote that, you know, you can do that as well.
Well, Modern Belly Dance of Cleveland. You can go to modernbellydance.com, and we offer classes. Our classes are actually out in Berea now on Wednesday evenings, and they are phenomenal. Again, everybody that comes to class, I have students that's been with me for 7 years. Lots of people stick to those classes, so it is kind of hard to get in. But we have a lot of fun, and you get in shape. You feel good. You get your strength back. You get your joy back. You get your femininity back. You don't have to be a man all the time walking around. So much male energy in the world. We need that yin and yang balance. So come on out, modernbellydance.com, and schedule a walk-in. Come and dance with me. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you mentioned that. Perhaps that's a topic for another show. But that whole balance of masculine and feminine energy, you know, one of the reasons that as a race we have so much conflict is because we don't necessarily apportion the correct proportion of masculine and feminine energy. You know, we all are a combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, men have feminine energy as well as masculine energy. But because that balance is out of balance, we have that conflict. Any comments about that before we go?
Yes, the food is playing a very big part in that imbalance. The toxins are playing, and the parasites.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Too much estrogen for men. And could you say the opposite for women?
Testosterone. Too much testosterone.
Too much testosterone. And we didn't get an opportunity to get into this, but, you know, Dr. Tyrone Hayes did that research for Syngenta. And this chemical called atrazine is something that they put in to fight the pests that are eating up the crops. So corn is one of the most prevalent crops. And so you got atrazine, not just in the corn, but also in the water supply. So when you look around and you see how the alphabet community has increased to the extent that it has, it's partly awareness, but it's also partly that hormonal imbalance. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the sexuality is a result of perhaps confusion, perhaps uncertainty, perhaps not fully knowing. You know, I know this is a deep subject, and some folks come into the world and they feel that they were born this way and that's how they live their lives. But we do have environmental factors that kind of create paradigm shifts in mentalities that cause people to go through changing their physical nature to suit their mental nature.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's chemicals that if the mother, while carrying the baby, if she's exposed to certain chemicals, then the structures of the baby's brain that begins to identify sex as it gets older are not developed. So there's many studies out there that show that chemical toxins affect the, I guess you could say, the consciousness, the level of consciousness of the child when it's starting to develop. So there's lots of attack on humanity, because if everybody turns gay or homosexual, then we're done for. We're done for. There's right. No more humanity. Mm-hmm. And then you need the baby farms. They got baby farms. They got baby pods. You can look up baby pods. You can order you a baby online. You can decide what color eyes you want. What do you want it to be good at playing the piano? It's out there.
Gene mapping.
Right. And saying that, let's go back to what we just said and finishing up. With that technology that you just expressed, we can't deal with cancer. We can't deal with a lot of the ailments that we're talking about, which you say you create. I can decide what color blue eyes the baby. So they've been messing with the DNA, tapping in and dealing with this a long time ago. They understood that the cells have memory. Your thoughts is energy that can cause your cell to generate in a positive way and degenerate in a negative way. They have studied this stuff. Like our good brother, Dr. Wayne, said in a seminar that we were doing, talking about in 1984, they completed the first successful cloning of animals. Now, that was 30 years ago. Where do you think we at right now with that technology?
It was way before there, to be honest. That was just the one they put public.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So my point is, where are we now? You know, 30 some years later.
They cloned Tyrone. That's
there it is. Fontaine running the streets selling people drugs.
Oh, man. You gotta be divergent. Y'all gotta be divergent. You gotta be like the girl. She like, I'm getting ready to go to the Alps. I'm getting ready to climb. I'm studying for this. That those are the ones that's divergent, that don't want to be a part of that, you know, society that they're trying to make us into. They're trying to make everybody into clowns out here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to give a big ups to Yo-Yo, because my perspective was that she represented the feminine divine.
Yeah.
Her energy is what caused Tyrone to say, okay, well, we got to do something about this. And so they did. But then again, there was a fruitlessness of, the day after you go to Compton and you see the same scene playing out. So that was a subliminal message to us that it don't matter what you do. We're going to clone you and we're going to do what we do. We're going to continue to experiment on you.
Everybody wake up. You see, everybody got to wake up. That's the key.
Yep. Yep.
So fight it until you wake up.
All right. Well, let's agree to do this. Let's agree to do everything that we can to eliminate the zombies on this planet so that everybody can experience the true beauty of life outside of what Dr. Barisha Day would call the Patrix. Not the Matrix, but the Patrix.
Wow. Let me just say one thing. The work that you're doing, Doc, and a few others, you know, like Yaki and things like that, we're going up against some serious forces, is what you're talking about as well. That's why it's important for us to become healers ourselves, so we can spread that to our families and our friends like that, because you know they're not going to allow a platform like this to be in mainstream like that, you know, and people talking like brother, you know, it's not by chance a lot of our healers are mysteriously leaving us and things like that. So they don't want this information out. So we have to train. So take the time to invest in yourself so you can help your family. So we can put get a replica of ourselves and go out and teach and train everybody else, so we can do something to counteract some of the things that they're doing.
Absolutely. Okay. Well,
can
we
I
won't
say
be
one last time. One last thing, Vince.
Yes.
On the back of Hamtonia, absolutely, I agree with that completely. I want people to be empowered, because when we are in our joyful state, we are powerful. Nothing can touch you, because it's all about frequency. Your reality comes to you through frequency, so you have to be a vibrational match to whatever you experience. You will not be able to experience anything of the lower realms if you're not on that lower realm. It can't happen. So you got to change the frequency and vibration yourself and bring your joy and peace back. So that means get your health together, because you got to get them parasites out, all them toxins, because they're keeping your vibration low. Once you get all that stuff under control, we fly in high, and you will see these types of things on mainstream, because we are going to create it. We are creating this reality. It's time for us to wake up and take our power back.
Right on. I don't think I can say anything to add to that, so I'm going to shut my mouth right now and thank everybody for tuning in. This has been a wonderful and a great broadcast, and I think there's a lot for folks to learn. They take the time to listen and view. As always, know yourself. Love yourself, be yourself. Peace, progress, and prosperity to everyone.
Stay strong, family.
All righty. Yes.